It's time for phenology. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are at that point right now, right here in the Grand Rapids area, where you should be out looking at your plants every day or every other day. Right now, I am going on about a 2-mile phenology hike every other day. So I went Saturday and I went yesterday, and in between Saturday and yesterday, the changes were astonishing. So on Saturday, I had red maple buds just breaking open, and just a few of them. But if you looked, if you pulled down a branch of a red maple and you looked at the flower buds that are there, you would have seen maybe 10% of them that were open. The bud has broken open, and what you see in there are, it looks like 10 or 8 really tightly packed purple fingers or burgundy fingers. And there, those will be the flowers. Well, the maples, the red maples flower first and then leaf out. Silver maples, same thing, flower first and leaf out. If you have a maple that's already flowered and you're in the Grand Rapids area, if you're in the northern part of the state and you have a maple in your yard that has already been in flower, it is probably a silver maple. They precede the reds by, well, this year, almost 10 days. So lots of lead. My silver maples, the male flowers are starting to fall off. And that's a good sign, too. I mean, not a good sign. It's a natural sign. Once the plant has pollinated, it doesn't need the male flower anymore. And so it just cuts it loose. And in the last couple of days, I've noticed here and there little clusters of male flowers laying on my deck. And in the next couple of days, within this next week, my deck will be covered with the male flowers of the silver maple. So if the flowers start falling off your trees and it's a maple, then it's probably a silver maple. The red maples are just getting started. And I saw my first buds on Friday, which would have been the 18th. And the average date for first bud break on the red maple is the 14th. My pin cherries are breaking bud, and the average date there is the 27th, and I saw that happening yesterday, the 21st. Black chokeberry is breaking bud, and black chokeberry is typically the 29th of April, and this year it was the 21st. Northern gooseberry, 25th of April is average, and yesterday it was breaking bud. Juneberry, the 20th is average, and yesterday it was breaking bud, so it was a day behind. Pagoda dogwood is breaking bud. And all of these plants, if you walk up to them and look, what I call bud break is when you can see, when you look at the bud of the plant, if you can see green, that's bud break. Now, if you're looking at a lilac, that's not the same case. Lilacs, because of the nature of them and because of the way people, at least the people National Phenology Network want you to determine when lilac bud break occurs. It, for them, it is that moment when the bud is expanded to the point where the widest part of the emerging leaf is visible. That they call bud break, because the lilac bud gets green, just turns green before it begins to open. And so if you, I could have said that my lilac was budding out a week ago. It wasn't, and it still isn't, but the buds are very, very green. So keep an eye on those. Beaked and American hazel are no bud break, but the flowers are out on both of the beaked and the American hazel. And they are out in fairly, I mean, we're probably at their peak of bloom for the hazels. Now, a hazel brush flower is not something that's going to be obvious to you. You're going to have to go to find a hazel brush. And right now, they have these inch to maybe inch and a half long sort of tan or khaki colored catkins that are the male flowers and make them pretty easy to see. But you're going to have to, if you once you find this shrub, and hazel grows in clumps, so you're going to have 5, 6, 8, 10, 15 stems coming up in a clump. And you'll see these long khaki-colored catkins, inch to inch and a half, and then start looking at the branches. And every place there's a little bud, look at that bud. And if you are in the right spot and your eyes get adjusted to them, you'll see these bright red flowers that are less than an eighth of an inch across. They're very, very small. So you're going to have to look carefully. I have found that if I go out early in the morning and get the sun behind them, or if I go out early or late in the afternoon, like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and get the sun behind them, standing on the shadow side of the plant, so the plant is between me and the sun, I can find those. If you just kind of look through the hazel, you'll see these little bright red dots. The sun will be shining on them, and there'll be these tiny little red dots that'll start to jump out at you. So you'll be able to see the hazel flowers. They're really worth it. I mean, they're lovely little flowers. But they are little. Canada honeysuckle is breaking bud, and that was on the 21st, and the 26th is the average. The red elderberry, you may have red elderberry around your house. Maybe you're not aware of it, but if you're looking at these opposite branched buds that are as big as the end of your little finger, not even your little finger. In my case, they're as big as the ends of my index finger. They're big, big fat buds. And there'll be these tenuous looking, kind of stringy looking leaves that are circling this flower bud that looks a lot like broccoli. And this flower bud can be bright green or it can be purple. It just depends on the plant. But that bud, that flower bud, is right there behind it, just below the leaf or just underneath the leaf. So check them out. I have, in the case of the red elderberry, I have, well, it's gone beyond bud break to leaf out. Leaf out is when I can see the petiole, the stem that supports the leaf. And in the case of red elderberry, I can easily see the petioles. So they're definitely doing their thing. Maybe you've been looking at some of the aspen in your yard, the trembling aspen right now. The males are in full flower, and the females are actually in flower as well, but the female flowers tend to be much smaller, and take a keen eye or binoculars in order to see them. The male flowers now are 2 to 3 inches long and are completely open, and pollen is flying out of each of them in huge quantities. Even though you may not be seeing it, it's pretty fine. One single trembling aspen can put out about 1 billion grains of pollen. So that's each individual tree puts out 1 billion grains of pollen. That's a fair amount of pollen. The big tooth aspen, the buds are just starting to develop. They're about 1/2 inch long. And if you have binoculars, or if, again, if you have that keen eye, you probably can see the flower buds forming on the big tooth aspen. In a year like this, typically there's 3 weeks between leaf out of the trembling aspen and leaf out of the big tooth aspen. None of that will take place until right around the end of the month or the 1st of May. Nanny berry is budding, breaking bud. And most impressively, and this took a bit of looking. In fact, I had to look at about 6 tamaracks yesterday before I found one, an old guy that grows up in the middle of an old pasture, and he's out in full sun. And he had first green, and average date for first green was yesterday, the 21st. The earliest I ever had aspen bud break was on the 12th of March in 2008. And in 2012, which was another warm spring, I had bud break on the 28th of March. So can vary quite a bit. It's gone as late as the 6th of May before the tamaracks have greened up. But if you have tamaracks around you, watch them this week. They're going to take on a tiny, tiny, tinge of green. And if you get up and look closely, you'll see that the leaf needle, the needle buds are just these little dots of green on the ends of the tamarack branches. You're also going to see these quarter inch wide little circular structures that are either the male pollen cones or the female seed cones. And those are going to be quite developed because they actually begin to develop well before the leaves come out on the tamarack. So check out your tamaracks. If you've got some nearby, it'd be worth a trip into the wetness to get a look at them. Or maybe you're like me and you've got several that are growing up on high ground and they're pretty easy to find. Kind of wanted to look then, that's sort of the list of plants. I went through a long list of plants there that are all breaking bud and will be getting greener as we go forward from now. So keep an eye on those. Among the insects and birds that I've been watching, well, we talked about the kids down in Northfield had seen green darners on the 17th of April. And yesterday I got two reports, one from Mark Williams, who works up at Spruce, and he saw one there. And then Courtney Kern saw a couple over in Cohasset yesterday. And the thing I noticed yesterday was that there were a lot more flying insects about. They might have been midges. There were some that were mosquitoes. There were some flies out. So the darners are not going to starve to death. They'll have things to find. As well as darners, this last week I saw my first tree swallows, which are insect eaters, and they're going to be concentrated over lakes and rivers until the insect populations really pick up away from the water, and then they will be moving off away from water, and they'll be settling into all of those bluebird houses that you were clever enough to put two together. So you separate two bluebird houses by about 10 feet. Tree swallows will live in one and bluebirds will live in the other. Bluebirds won't let bluebirds live that close and tree swallows won't let tree swallows live that close. So you almost have to have two close together like that so that you can accommodate both species of birds, because otherwise the tree swallows will get there and take over the nest boxes before the bluebirds get there. But as I said, if you got one close, they won't take both of them. They'll just take one and let the bluebirds have the other. Yesterday, ruby cone kinglet. On Friday, a big flock of flickers. And then Saturday, a bunch of flickers in the yard. I have lesser yellow legs hanging out on the lake. Also on the lake were ringneck ducks, mallards, wood ducks, common mergansers, hooded mergansers. What else did I see out there? Trumpeter swans, Canada geese. Yeah, the usual group. And then I had a song sparrow come in and start singing, and that was kind of fun. I did notice over this past week that a lot of the birds that had been really heavily flocking at my bird feeder, I had up to five or six male purple finch at a time, so I knew there were five or six females there as well. There were goldfinches, there were pine siskins. A week ago, the red poles were gone, so they've already moved on. But that and juncos, all of those birds have sort of dissipated. They've sort of gone further north. Some juncos will remain in the area and will actually breed here and nest here. But for the most part, a lot of those birds are going to find different places to be over the summer, and we won't be at my feeder in the numbers that they have been. Ruffed grouse are drumming with increasing frequency. I saw my first turkey vulture this past week. The bald eagle that is in my front yard is feeding young, at least I assume. They're too small for me to see right now. But she laid her first egg on March 7th, and the average gestation period for bald eagles is like 35 days, somewhere in there. And so, you know, from March 7th to April 7th and add another week, it'd take it to the 14th. So she should have She should have babies in the nest now. Whether she has one or two or maybe even three, I won't know until, well, once they get to be about the size of chickens, they can't hide in the nest anymore. Then I can see them. And so I will let you know how successful they were. But the clue that I'm using to assume that the bald eagle has eaglets is that there are very frequent trips by both parents or one parent back and forth to the nest with food. And I'm just assuming that that means that there are lots of little baby, or that there are some babies there that need feeding on a pretty regular basis. So the bald eagle appears to have at least one young, and I will let you know as time goes by just how many there are in there. Last year, they raised one, and that's enough. That's success, so we'll hope for that. The other notice I had, and I don't know if you were listening earlier, but Charlie Mitchell, our phenology coordinator, had said that a bear came and trashed her feeder and just kind of tore everything down and wrecked it. And on Sunday night, I had my black bear, and I can only assume it's the one that comes every once in a while, because my feeder was clean. It was licked up. There wasn't a seed, not a hole, not a stick, nothing on the feeder. Clean. And the suet feeder, which I had been taking in every night, except for Sunday, I was working hard and I was so tired Sunday night that I didn't go out and pull it in. It moved the suet feeder about 15 feet away, pried it open and ate the suet and left the feeder right there in the yard. So he's a pretty neat feeder, and I'm okay with that. If that's all he does, we'll get along just fine. If he starts tearing down the feeder, then I'll have to figure out a way to bring the feeder in every night, and I'm not looking forward to that. That's the Phenology Show for this week. There is so much going on out there. Get outside. Look carefully. Every one of you has a shrub or a tree that you walk by every day to get from your house to your car. Take a look at it. It's going to be changing in the next day or two. Trust me. It's time.
Want to learn more about nature? You can sign up for that Season Watch newsletter and check out our past phenology conversations at our website at kaxc.org.
Should also mention that I will be leading a hike up at Earthfest on Saturday this week. And the following Saturday, I will be at the Rice Lake Wildlife Area just south of McGregor. And the folks from the Bugganegishig bird group are going to be there. We're going to have birders, wildflower experts, one 200-pound doofus phenologist.
What's the date of that one?
That is May 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. My father's birthday.
Huh.
Yeah. So lots of chances to get out and do a little hiking if you want and learn about birds and plants and a little about phenology, perhaps.
Iron Range Earthfest is this Saturday. John is leading a walk. Also, look for our booth there. You can meet Charlie Mitchell and Heather Johnson.
Yeah, exciting. They're going to be some company up there. That'll be fun.